Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul from Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for listening to another wonderful episode of the Suffer Well devotional series. Think about that for a moment. Suffering well, suffering well. We're going to read the devotional today, and then we're going to teach about it as we do here every day at Torah Life Ministries. Starting off, everyone who commits or practices sin is guilty of lawlessness, violating Yahweh's law by transgression or neglect, being unrestrained and unregulated by his commands and his will. For sin is lawlessness, 1 John 3, verse 4. Sin, quite literally, is transgression of the law. It always starts in the mind and most often manifests in physical action. It is not, as most people think, a built-in biological certainty. Some people sin in a voluntary decision. Or simply put, sin is a voluntary decision. The law is holy and the commandment is holy and just and good. Romans 7, verse 12. You can either choose to obey it or not, but don't mistake it. It is your choice. Simply put, sin is a voluntary decision. Here's a question you have not likely been asked before. Do you sin because Adam, the first Adam, sinned? Or because you would have made the same choice and still do? The world loves to purport that biology is the inevitable cause of our transgression or our sin. If in fact they are of the secular camp that even admits transgression is possible, and certainly by mere self identification as non-believers, the world would never categorize their failures as transgression against Yahweh. As believers, we know otherwise. It is against Yahweh alone that we sin, Psalms 51, verse 4. Even more inviting to the world are terms like innocent victim, unfortunate disease, hereditary disposition, or alternative lifestyle. As more palatable substitutes for the idea that they might be transgressing the law of some higher being or even of nature itself. Sins such as addictive behaviors, immoral standards, gluttony, and immodest clothing, promiscuous behavior, sexual immorality, or gender re-identification are ignored or excused, and in recent years simply accepted as the new normal. Why? Because people are just born that way, and the distinction between right and wrong is just culturally relative, or even more personally relative. As Scripture says, fertile thinking is where the downfall begins, Romans 1, verse 21. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isaiah 5:20. Now consider that this was not written to the world. It was written to Yahweh's chosen people. Have you also adopted the world's excuses? Do you actually believe Yahweh created man to be evil and the sinful and on purpose? Does it conform to, or does it comfort you in some way to believe that lie? It is hereditary. I am a victim. It's not my fault. Are these your acceptable excuses? Will you continue to reject the truth that committing transgression is a choice? It is your current belief system based on Romans 7, 14 to 23. I'm going to read that and see what it says. Romans 17, 43. It says, read it. Woe is me. I am a victim of my flesh. I keep doing what I do not want to do, and I don't do what I am supposed to do. Or is it your reality of Romans 7, 24 to 25? Read it. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Praise Yahweh, Yeshua the Messiah did. For the law of the Spirit of life in the Messiah Yeshua has made me free from the law of sin and death. But you are not of the flesh, but in spirit. Of indeed, the Spirit of the Almighty dwells in you. Romans 8, verse 2 to 9. Verse 2 and verse 9. Chanach, pronounced Chanoch. You know him better as Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was found because the Almighty had taken him. And was not found because the Almighty had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimonial that he pleased the Almighty. Hebrews 11:5. His very name means dedicated, experienced, and trained. He lived 365 years of a dedicated life pleasing to Yahweh. He was the seventh perfection generation from Adam. Jude 1 verse 14. He walked the narrow road and was taken from the earth without experiencing physical death. He became an example to all who would believe what his obedience, as some believers believe about sinfulness, or was it a choice? Was his obedience hereditary, as some believe about sinfulness, or was it a choice? It is in this time together that we remove the scales and introduce the true reality. Enoch made the only choice that mattered. It was the choice to obey alone and not attempt to add or take away from what Yahweh ordered or ordained to bring life and death. Not one jot, not one tittle can be changed and submitted to the, can be submitted to it. His dedication to the narrow path was a choice. His carnal mind gave him every opportunity to fail. But he chose otherwise. He chose to be pleasing to Yahweh. Yes, this was Enoch and made no excuses. You see this on my shirt here. It says no excuses. And if you look down, it says for your sin. No excuses for our sin. So we read this and we see what it says here in the scriptures in Romans 7:14, going all the way to 25. It says a struggle with sin. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate, but I know that what I am doing is wrong. This shows that I agree with the law that it is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. Verse 18, and I know that nothing good lives in me, and that is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. Verse 21, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love Yahweh's commandments with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from the life of this dominated by sin and death? Verse 25. Thank Yahweh that the answer is in Yahshua, our wonderful Messiah. So you will see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey Yahweh's commandments, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. Now, we need to think about that when we think about the narrow path, because the narrow path is filled with people that have chosen a life of obedience. The wide path is people that chose the way of disobedience, and that's why it's darkness, because when the Bible is not open and it's not being read, it's just darkness. So you have on this wide path a bunch of people that are walking around in darkness. That means no matter how wide the path is, they don't even know what direction they're walking in. But on a narrow path, it's so narrow, but people on a narrow path are reading the words of our Creator and obeying them. And the word is thy light for their feet. And that's why they're going to stay steadfast going towards the narrow gate that is Yeshua. The narrow path is Torah, and the narrow gate is Yeshua. We have to understand this. Just because you're saying some words or just because you're looking a certain way doesn't mean you're on that narrow path. There's only one thing and one thing alone that determines if you're on that narrow path, and that is your obedience. And the opposite of obedience is sin, and you have that choice which path you want to be on and which road you want to follow. The Bible says in Matthew 7:13-14, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and the broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few will find it. Only few of us will actually seek out and find a small, narrow gate and a small, narrow road. And only few will decide to use that word as a light for our feet. And we might know many people that use it. But when you look at the big scale of things, it's only a few people that are willing, able, and want to be obedient to the words of our Creator known as the commandments, and not making excuses saying they're done away with, that was nailed to the cross, we live by grace and all this stuff. No, to say I want to do everything to please my Creator and follow his holy word. Luke 13:23-25 says, somebody asked him, Yahweh, are only the few people going to be saved? He said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door and you begin to stand outside and knock and the door, and Yahweh says, open to us, then he will answer you. I do not know where you come from. Isaiah 35:8 says, and a highway will be there and it will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go on about it. How many of you are ready to travel that highway of holiness? How many of you are ready to knock on that door of righteousness and have our Creator open it up because of our obedience to him? How many of you are ready to choose the narrow path? Many people have to realize that by their actions, they're not making that righteous choice. Matthew 7:21-23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, would we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. You workers of lawlessness. And Luke 13:26-28 says, then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place, there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourself are cast out. And we think about that. Luke 6:46 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? John 14:23-24 says, Yeshua answered him and says, if anyone loves me, he will keep the words of my Father and will love him and will come to him and he will make our home with him. Whomever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. The word is in the scripture, and the scripture, all scripture is profitable for man. And the beginning is what we have in the Torah, the instructions, the guideline, the will of our Father. How many of you are keeping it? How many of you are willing to keep it? And I remind you about this narrow path. Mark 4:15-17 says, some people are like a seed along that path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away, the word that was once sown in them. Others are like the seed sown on rocky places, hearing the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And Matthew 23:28 says, in the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. And James 4:4 says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with Yahweh? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend with the world becomes an enemy of Yahweh. We have to get this right and understand about the narrow path. There's only one road that has lights, and it's the narrow path. And that light is our word. And that path is the Torah. and that gate is Yeshua. There's only one way to get to that gate, and that is on the narrow path. Do we have that choice if we want to live a life of sin or if we want to get on that right path and live that life? 1 John 3, verse 8 to 10 says, the person who lives a sinful life belongs to the devil because the devil has been committing sin since the beginning. The reason that the Son of Yahweh appeared was to destroy what the devil has done. Those who have been born from Yahweh do not live sinful lives. What Yahweh has said lives in them, and they can't live sinful lives. They have been born from Yahweh. This is the way Yahweh's children are distinguished from the devil's children. Everyone who doesn't do what is right or love others' believers isn't Yahweh's child. That's hard for many of us to hear. Many of us don't want to know the reality of that truth, but that is, in fact, the truth. We must choose that path, and we can only choose that path. We can only choose that lifestyle. And we're not talking about choosing a sin. We're talking about making a practice out of sin, making the wrong choices all the time, having no repentance, and not getting it. The question comes down to not fear, but awe. Are you in awe of our Creator? Are you in awe of Him? Some people say, do you fear Him? But are you in awe of our Creator? If you fear Yahweh, there's no fear of anything else. That's what we got to understand and believe and trust. Fearing Yahweh will keep us on that narrow path. Deuteronomy 5:29 says, if only it would really be their desire to fear me and obey my commandments in the future, so that it may go well with them and their descendants forever. That's when you throw down the mic and you walk off the stage, because it's done. It's said. Deuteronomy 5:29, I read it again. If only it would really be their desire to fear me and obey all my commandments in the future, so that it may go well with them and their descendants forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to read that again. That's so important. This is a Creator's words. If you believe in the Bible, you believe He wrote it, this is His words. Deuteronomy 5:29. Repeat after me, everybody listening right now. Because some of you might say you're just preaching to the choir, but I know many of you listening on Christian radio. Listen to this. Repeat it after me. Deuteronomy 5:29. If only it would really be their desire to fear me and obey all my commandments. If only it would really be their desire to fear me and obey my commandments in the future, so that it may go well with them in their descendants and their descendants forever. So what is it saying here? It says, if it's not our desire to follow the guidelines and instructions of our Creator and follow His commandments, it's not going to go all well with us. But our Creator says in Ezekiel 33:11, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to change from their wicked ways so they would live, so they would have life. The Bible says, today I give before you life or death. Choose life so you may live. But Matthew 15:8 says, the reality of these things, people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We need to fear our Creator. All the sins of man, and we use excuses to keep indulging in them, we must flee from them. Romans 1:28 says, furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of Yahweh, so Yahweh gave them over to the depraved mind, so that they do what they ought not to be done. And Luke 13:25-27 says, once the hand of the house gets up and shuts the door and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door and says, Yahweh, open up to us. Then He will answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. I do not know. And He will say, depart from me, all you evildoers. When you fear Yahweh, what simply happens is you love what He loves and you hate what He hates. That's what's supposed to happen. That's a change. That's a transformation. You fear Yah, and you love what He loves and hate what He hates. Psalm 7:11 says, Yahweh judges the righteous, and Yahweh is angry with the wicked every day. Proverbs, another word for wisdom, 8:13 says, to fear Yahweh is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance. evil behavior is the perverse speech and perverse speech. Psalms 97:10, let those who love Yahweh hate evil. For he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Love it. He guards the lives of the faithful ones and delivers them from the hands of the wicked. In Job 1, verse 1, it said, in the land of Oz, there was a man whose name was Job. And this man was blameless and upright and fearless. Feared Yahweh and shunned evil. And still Yahweh had to refine him even more. Even more. Exodus 20, verse 20 says, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Yahweh has come to test you so that the fear of Yahweh will be with you to keep you from sinning, from this transgression. From taking that step back, we must be willing and have a desire to travel that narrow path. It's not pleasing to the eye. It's not pleasing to the flesh. But it's pleasing to Yahweh and our desire to please him more than ourselves. For Job said, I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. His words are more important than my life. That's the heart, as we see in Wisdom 3, verses 5 to 7. Proverbs 3, 5 to 7 says, trust in Yahweh with some of your heart. No. Trust in Yahweh with all of your heart. All. Underline it. Highlight it. All of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In some of your ways, submit to him. No. In all of your ways, submit to him. And then he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Be in awe of our wonderful creator and shun evil. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't be ashamed of Yahweh. Don't be ashamed of being on that path that so few travel. Don't be ashamed to be set apart on that set apart path. That's the path you want to be on. That's the path that Yah's planned for you, not the path of the world. The path of the world has this thinking that says, well, there's a way before each person, it seems right. But the Bible goes on to say, but it ends in death. Now we're all going to die a physical death, but they're not just talking about the physical death. They're talking about the spiritual death. We must be willing to give up our life to find it and to understand what that means in the scriptures, to deny ourselves. It says in Matthew 10, 28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one that can destroy both soul and body in hell. That's what we must need. Submit ourselves to one another out of reverence for Yeshua. Hallelujah. 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 1 Peter 1:17 says, if you address as father the one who impartial judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfect holiness in the fear of Yahweh. And 1 Peter 2:7 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear Yahweh, and honor the king. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this is what we must do, to be in awe of him, to be in awe of his ways, to choose that narrow path. To choose that narrow path, we have that choice and we must make that decision. We must understand why we go through what we go through and how he blesses us every single day. Remember, not everyone who calls him, he's going to answer for them. And the Bible says in the word in Jeremiah, I won't even hear the prayers of the unrighteous. So you got all these people praying in churches, all these people praying all over the world. But if they're not following the commandments, they're unrighteous and Yah's not hearing their prayers. The only prayer we should have is a prayer of repentance. Yah, heal my heart and thank him for everything. Repentance and thankfulness. Not, Yah, give me a new car, give me a new house, give me a new this, give me that. No. Yah knows what we need, and he wants us to come to him with a humble heart. A humble heart. Isaiah 66, verse 2 says, has my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares Yahweh. These are the ones I look on with favor. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. Psalms 119 verses 119 to 120 says, all the wicked of my youth, the wicked of the earth, you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonials. My flesh trembles for fear of you. I am afraid of your judgments. That's it. That's it. We know what he's telling us to do. We know what he wants us to do. It's time to go and do it. Go and do it now. John 16, 12 says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them all now. Many things. But these are the things in the test he wants us to pass. Just like he called Abraham out to go. He's calling us this very day, to take that first step on that narrow path. To make that decision every single day to walk that narrow path. And he will guide our steps. He will guide our steps. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And the Holy One is understanding. And I tell you this, the narrow path is a refining fire. The narrow path is where we'll get persecuted. People will come against us. People won't want to be with us. But that narrow path is the only home for a true believer in Yeshua, a wonderful Messiah. There's nothing, nothing less. No neutrality without Creator. You're either on that path or you're not. Nothing in the middle. We have an opportunity to be on this path right now today. You might have messed up. You might have made mistakes. You might have done things and said things you shouldn't have. But now's the time to ask Yahweh to take you off that wide path in darkness and put you on that narrow path in light. And tell him with your own words that you want to be some of those few that are on that narrow path. And you will do anything and everything to please our wonderful, wonderful Creator. Let him know. Let him know and don't hold back. And speak to him every single day. Every single day. Starting that and telling him that and showing him that. That this is what I want to do. I'm ready for work. What's my assignment today? I'm ready for work. What do you want me to do? Speak to him and he'll speak to you. And you might not hear that voice, but you open the word and you see he'll lead you that because he wrote the word. You might not hear, see it in a word, but a friend will tell you and you'll confirm it in his spirit. Speak to him. Speak to him and he'll speak to you. Remember, repentance brings refreshing. Let's be honest with ourselves and humble with ourselves. And it's all good. It's all good in Yahweh's hood, right? So that is our devotional for today from the Suffer Well devotional. You can see more at our website at TorahLifeMinistries.org, TorahLifeMinistries.org. And you could also support us at Patreon.com/TorahLifeMinistries. We thank you for your prayers and your support. And may Yahweh be with you this day and always. Until then, everybody, have a blessed day and shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah Life Ministry.
My very plan is to trust in you. I trust in you. All my hope is found in you, I found in you. There is no fear, there is no doubt. The one who walked on water holds my hands. You who began this good work in me, you are able. Only you can. You perfect it all. You perfect it all. All I have to do is fix my eyes on you.